I am recording. Ah, that's David. Just in time. Let's give it a few seconds for David to join in.
David's been trying to connect the audio for ages.
Hello, David. You're on now. Just give a wave if you can hear us. Oh, yeah, he can. Right, let's start.
He's got a lovely top of his head.
Right.
David.
Angle your camera down a bit so we can see you properly, David.
Oh, don't.
Oh, it was better the other way.
Oh, he's well ahead of everybody.
Oh, he's drinking, that's why.
That's why, yeah. Can you all see the screen there?
Yeah.
Yes.
Cool. Right. I'm just going to mute you all out. Yes. Right. Nice and quiet. Oh, sorry. Right. Carol.
Oh.
You're unmuted. It's all yours. If you want to advance to the next series, just shout.
Okay, good evening. Carol speaking on her tablet here. I can see my name, right?
Right. 2 seconds. Hello. Yes. There we are.
Okay. I was lucky enough to have a birthday in February this year before the shutdown of the whole world. And David and I took Isla, our dog, to Bamborough, who had a lovely February. Oh, it was a winter's day, very cold, but beautiful, beautiful weather. And we stayed overnight. This is the first day. So we stayed overnight in a hotel. And the next one, is Isla, our dog, on the beach at this is Bamborough. See, before we went to Bamborough, on the way we stopped at Low Newton by the sea, and we had a lovely lunch in the ship inn. So we went along that beach as well. Very windy. It was, if you remember, all the winds in February. But it was sunny and it was good conditions for photography. And she just was loved running around and then all of a sudden stopped. And I'd grab this picture of her. Okay. So we went to the other side of the castle, which is not very often photographed. And this is from the dunes end, the other side. And you can just see in front of the castle there a little bit of water. And that was a great big puddle or pond, or I don't think it's normally there. It was just with all the rain it came. But again, she was running around in these grasses and stopped. She was only young, just two, and posed. Good when you've got a dog that poses, and I like the light on her and everything.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. This is the last one I took of her on the Bamborough beach early morning. We, as I say, we stayed overnight. We got up about 6:30, got down to the beach before 7, before the sunrise. But this was just after sunrise. And you can see the low sun on it and all the bits and pieces on the beach washed up and what happens in the winter. This is on my desktop at the minute. I love this one.
Yeah, I love it.
Then the next one is just before the sunrise. We got there for the dawn, the pre-dawn light, I should say. Conditions were lovely. The sky was gorgeous. And we hit really lucky. I got a lot of pictures. I've only put a few in tonight. I haven't actually put 10 in. I wasn't sure how many, you know, people would be putting in. So there's 5 from me. So on the horizon there, you can just see the sun just coming up. And then the next one's my last one. Oh, now I don't know why that's so small.
I'll just have a look.
So we're losing the red in the sky now.
Yeah, it is small.
Oh, okay. I don't know why. But so we lost the redness, starting to change as the sun comes up. And I love this foam and type of wave that came in. And then at the very front, in the middle, you've got a bit of seaweed, which gives a bit of interest there. Didn't get a nice reflection of the castle, but I like the silhouette of it anyway. And I thought one of my favourites that I took that morning. And we stayed there from 7 till about 9 and went back for breakfast. Had a lovely day and a lovely birthday. Thank you.
Right. Everybody's now unmuted, so maybe we should just have a clap, right?
I would give my eye teeth to be back there tomorrow morning.
Yeah. Right. Chat for a little bit amongst yourself. I'm just trying to get this fixed, that the images that are slightly smaller, because this one is only like 1,000 pixels wide, that they're actually blown up a bit, because that might be better for maybe some other pictures as well. So just have a little break.
The light was lovely there, Carol. What time of the morning was it? Were you up really early?
Yes. I did see. I don't know whether you heard me. Could you hear what I was saying?
Yeah, you said it was early, but I wondered how early you'd had to get up to get them.
It was 7 o'clock, about seven in the morning.
Not too bad. I was being up at 5 o'clock or something.
In the summer, you do.
It was February, so.
Oh, right. Yeah.
I like the way the foam led you round to the sun. It was like a shining path taking you into the sun. It was good, yeah?
Yeah.
Was anybody else there, Carol?
If the foam had come in, it would have been better.
No, just David and I and the dog.
All right, because I've always found when I've been up there, there are always 6 other people around as well, which surprises you at that time in the morning.
Did you ever hear of the... the story about an ex-member who had a white van who went up there overnight, and he kept looking out the window to see if the sunrise had come up, and nothing was happening. And then he heard a chatter of voices and looked out the window again, and still couldn't see the sunrise. And he realised he had privacy glass on, couldn't see out anywhere.
I know who that is.
That was honest of you, Peter.
Sorry?
That was very honest of you to admit to that.
Not I wasn't the one that owned the van, and I wasn't there. I did see an ex-member.
There was one morning I turned up there, and there was a mate of Vince Rooker's. This was years ago. And he had one of these, like a converted military ambulance, as a camper van. And he was sitting there with Brian Bacon and Eggs. And I'd driven up from our house, and he's chatting away about Vince Rooker and the smell of bacon and eggs and watching him down his breakfast. And I'd been on the road for an hour and a half. And I was starving, but I wanted to get the light like that. And I thought, right, you can have your breakfast. I'm going on the beach. But as members know from long ago, I've been going there since as far back as I can remember, photographically.
Before it was built?
Not quite.
No, can't believe that.
Are we ready to go? Who's next?
Right, next one. And Ed is on, so I'll just mute you, everybody.
And what? Okay.
2 seconds, Ed. Yes, I've got you unmuted then.
This is, right, this Wi-Fi, we, 2 or 3 years ago, we went to Japan on holiday on a tour. We went to sort of the main island, Honshu, and we visited loads of cities, which I've got written down here because I can't even remember the names. It was Takayama, Kanazawa, Matsusumo City, Tokyo, Kyoto, and Hiroshima. There was just various cities we went to. I took a load of stuff on temples and gardens and got bored with that, and I realised that the people were much more sort of interesting. And despite being one of the big automotive world leaders, we didn't see a great deal of traffic, and we didn't see any traffic jams. And that was, I mean, I only speak from where we were, I'm sure they had them. So what I've done is I've put a dozen together, and this was a set of 40 or 24 that Peter and I and two others did at Hexham Camera Club for the documentary group. So this was basically people getting around Japan. This first one was one of, it just shows you how little traffic there was. This is somewhere in Tokyo, and this is in the back of a taxi driving around. We traveled around by coach, but we used taxis to get around in public transport. The only thing I'd mention about Japan in that respect, that they don't have porters, so you have to lump all your cases and stuff and put your stuff in the taxis. So that's a taxi around Tokyo. Next one, Gerben, please. There's a lot of walking in Japan. I mean, in Tokyo, on the underground system, there's this subway that goes for, I don't know, for miles, but goes along the underground with shops and malls and things. This is one of two showing people just sort of walking about. The Japanese seem to have this fascination with zebra crossings, and everywhere you go there's zebra crossings. I'm not sure what this one is, but I've just checked up. It could be Shibuya, which is in Tokyo. It may not be, because I didn't particularly want to do that one. Obviously, the Japanese wasn't very good. But the Shibuya in the rush hour, there's 3,000 people cross this crossing at a time. And I've got this one quieter, where I just want to show the people and the zebra crossings. Next, Gerben, please. It's a bit strange for me, this digital stuff. I mean, I got a print stuck in the USB lead this morning, but never mind. I managed to get it out and put this digital show in. One of the walking things they did was certainly on weekends, the ladies dressed up in kimonos. And I know in sort of Kyoto, they actually used to hire them for them. They used to sort of walk around the parks and the streets and the places of interest, all dressed in kimonos with all the wonderful the colours they had. This was in Matsumoto City, and just below where they were walking was a small, very small canal. We walked the towpaths off, very narrow. Supposedly cherry blossom, but we missed the cherry blossom by a fortnight. But there you go. Next, please. One of the ways around, mainly for tourists, was the rickshaw. And this is in the sort of technical district in Tokyo. And you can see visitors being pulled around in these rickshaws, again, over the zebra crossing. You can tell it's Japan because of the people dressed behind, and obviously a lot of bicycles as well. You would see the rickshaws more in the sort of more touristy places. Next, please. Again, people on bicycles, a lot of people, you know, kids on the back and all sorts from school. But this was, again, in Tokyo. No different to home, otherwise the people look different. But again, people tearing down the footpaths on bicycles. I got a nice bit of deliberate blur on that one. That was nice. Not a shutter, this camera shake, but definite blur, just to give some idea how fast people are going around on their bikes, just like home. Next, Gerben. Obviously, we've been an island state. This was one of the ferries which we... I was told if you go, when you go to Japan, the place you got to go to is Miyajima Island. So we got the train there from Hiroshima and got on this ferry, went across to this island, beautiful island. And there's this wonderful temple that, if you ever see a photo, there's this sort of temple which stands in the middle of the river estuary. And no, normally people would take long exposures at 10 stops to get this lovely blur. It was last, the clouds were low, it was lashing down with the rain and the tide was out. Otherwise, it was a good day. But that's just one of the ferries that they would use to get across to Miyajima. Next screen, please. This lovely little Japanese woman, she was just like a little doll. She had bright red lipstick, and I must admit I did follow her around for a little while to try and get a photograph. But one of the modes of transport was inner city trams, and these also went on the main lines. So that's just this little Japanese old lady standing waiting for a tram at the station, just to show you what that's another mode of transport. Next screen, please. This is, I can't remember the station. This is one of the sort of types of suburban train. We'd been to Hiroshima going back to Kyoto, and this was a sort of more suburban train we would get into. Absolutely packed. We were worried to death that we'd lose our guide and didn't get off at the right station, but things moved off and on fairly quickly. We see it's not particularly busy there, but you can just see the people wearing masks. This was 3 years ago, and a lot of Japanese wear masks. And I asked the question, about why did they wear masks? Was it pollution? And after the tour manager picked herself off the ground, having fainted, she said, "We have no pollution in Japan." I said, "Oh, okay," and moved on. But that's a suburban train off from wherever to wherever. Next, please. And that's life on the trains. The inspector there has his mask on, and some of the passengers. That's almost just like you see the trains at home, crowded, nobody to have an eye contact, just not paying any attention to anyone else. But the thing about the guards was, and this happened on the bullet train as well, every carriage they entered, they stood and they bowed, walked through the carriage, got you there and turned around and they bowed to the public. Very respectful, very helpful people. Nice and clean and tidy, no litter. We never saw litter from the day we arrived till the day we came home. Absolutely wonderfully clean. So yeah, very organized, very efficient. And that was the sort of suburban train. Next screen, please. This was a small train with only one carriage. We went to a bamboo a temple in the middle of a bamboo forest, and we got this small train, which actually went right through the, you know, it would always lean out the window and touch the houses as we went through. And again, this is out the back when you can see the cars there and the bicycles, but not a lot of traffic. And that was a big thing that sort of struck me. There wasn't a lot of traffic. But this was a lovely little train, just running through this very narrow streets. And again, Gordon, please. This went to the bullet train now, which is runs from the north to the south. A dedicated line, no wonder sufficient, because there's only trains that run on this line. And every other trains and routes feed into the stations on this line. At each terminus, everybody gets off. A whole squad, an army of cleaners get on. They have 6 minutes to clean the train, turn the seats around, and off it goes again. At the station, you have a minute to get off, and there has been known for tourists not being quick enough to get off. But it's very organized. I mean, this was a queue to get on. Where that suitcase is at the front, there's a blue line. So when you got your ticket, you get the platform number, the train number and the gate number, and you would just go and queue up there very orderly, no mad dashes to get on the train. So very well organized, a wonderful system. Next, Gordon, please. I think this is the last one. This was just through the window of this train, which does about 200 miles an hour, very quiet. And this was just a guy having a way to sleep off, but I didn't get your coffee and sandwiches on there. Everybody took their rubbish to the end of the carriage, and so there was no litter lying around, very, very clean. Very, very efficient. I think that's the last one, Gordon.
Yeah, it is.
That's my trip to Japan.
Yeah, yeah. It's strange, isn't it, clapping virtually? But is there a lag between me moving on to the next image and it showing to you?
No, it's fairly quick, Gordon. There's no sort of nodding.
All right, because I was pretty much like within a fraction of a second, you say next one, so and then and it took a while for you to start speaking.
There was a bit of a lag, yeah.
There's a lag on mine.
But never mind, we'll get used to it. So,
any questions for Ed before we move to Kath?
Yeah.
Did you travel in the rush hour on the main lines and see the guys pushing everybody onto the trains?
No, I've heard about it, but we didn't quite get that. See, we were off really early in the morning, and not really did a lot of walking, so the trains were really just A to B. But so I've heard about it. A nephew of mine went on a world trip, and he went to Tokyo, and he said he'd heard about it, and he said, we're never going to get on this train. The next thing he did, he saw this army of people running and just jumping at them and pushing them on the train. But the public transport is so efficient. I think a lot of people use it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I think all the photographs are really nice. I really enjoyed them. But you black and white ones, you obviously take them in colour. Is that right?
I do. Take them in colour raw. And then get
take them
colour,
in colour raw.
And then get rid of the colour as quick as I can.
All right. Because you say that the ladies in the colourful kimonos, I just wonder why you change it from colour to black and white.
50 Shades of Grey, Kathleen.
I've just read that book.
I'm going back to my thing about colour. I think I kind of see in colour, and I think people can actually throw colour at you. So I just think, thankfully, the black and white gives a little bit more thought to it, and particularly in documentary photography, I think it's ideal for black and white.
Yeah, I just wondered when, you know, you say they're so colourful, because I mean, oh, they're fantastic in black and white, whether you actually might choose to do some of them in colour or not.
No, I'll do them in colour or then just take what I want and convert them to black and white. So if I need to, the colour's there if I want to do it.
I've just found it fascinating to see DPI files from you.
I know, as I say, I got the print stuck in the USB lead this morning, man.
Ed, have you not got any electricity in your house? Can you switch a light on?
It's the voice you want to hear, not the beauty.
Oh no, Ed, you look beautiful.
Yeah.
Well, you do in the dark, anyway.
Oh, keep the light off.
It's all right.
Watch out. It's black and white.
There we are. Oh, there's a colour cast that light. Can you see?
Hi. Can you turn yourself in black and white then?
Peter knows all about colour casts.
Oh, I noticed the rickshaw runner had a nice pair of legs there.
Yeah. Kathy would.
You would, Kathleen, wouldn't you?
I noticed it.
Perhaps on that note, we should move on to Kath.
Yeah, right. Right, I'm all going to mute you all out now, and the stage is for Kath. 2 seconds, Kath. Where's Kath? There we are. I think you're on, Kath. Go on.
Okay.
There you are.
I can't see a photograph yet. Ah, right. Well, we're back to Bamburgh. All of these photographs, I think, have been taken this year. This one would have been taken the end of February. It was a very windy Saturday, and I was up at Bamburgh and just walking along and trying to figure out where I was going to go to take a photograph of the castle the following morning. And I saw this, and it happens to be a black-tailed godwit. I thought it was curlew, but I've since found out that's what it is. And when you do wildlife, you tend to take a lot of photographs. And I've got a few that I like, but this was one of them. But what I liked most about it was the sparkle and the glistening of the water. And it was just, when you're trying to take the photograph as well, the wind was blowing that strongly. And obviously I've got quite a long lens, and it was really hard to focus on the actual bird. And a lot of the time the focus would be drifting off onto the sea. But I quite like that one. The next one. And it's always been an ambition of mine to go to Benidorm. Well, at Christmas, I went with my daughter to Benidorm. And this is a view that was out of the hotel, the 21st floor. And as you can see, you can look down and everybody seems quite small. And I just thought when the sun was going down at about 5-6 o'clock, I thought the light was really nice on the building. So I thought I'd just try and take a photograph. I'm not really very good at taking landscapes, but I thought I'd have a go. And I quite liked this one. And I thought I'd try and use the road to sort of lead you into the photograph. And that is Benidorm. And now I've been, I don't think I need to go back. Next one. This was taken about a week ago in Wickham Park during the lockdown. I go for walks with my dog in the morning, and this I think was probably taken about last Friday. And I sat down on the bench and I thought, oh, I'll try and take a photograph of the daffodils. And then I thought, oh, I could probably get a moving vehicle as it was coming past. And I was very lucky to have a bus go past, and as you can see, there's just one passenger on the bus, and that probably was about 9 o'clock in the morning, and that's the sign of the times. Next. This was another one, I think it was last Saturday, again, in Wickham Park, when I was allowed out with the dog. And I remembered something Linda had said about trying to do less, and it was really, really misty, so I took the photograph of the blossom tree, and then had a little bit of a fiddle around with it and see if I could make it disappear. I quite like the effect. So that's tree in Wickham Park. Next. And I think this was the day of the lockdown. I was up at, Pow Hill. And these birds come to Pow Hill every year, probably at about March, and they're called crossbills. I've never seen one of them before, but they're really colourful birds, and they sit at the top of the trees. They sometimes come down to drink out of the water, like the puddles on the ground and things like that. And I just thought I'd put that one in instead of a red squirrel. But I did get a red squirrel as well, but we'll save that one for a later day. Next. This was a windy day. I think it was December just last year when I went up to Amble with Steve. We knew the tide was going to be quite high and the conditions were going to be good for waves that break over the lighthouse and that. And I know I put one of these in for a competition, and the judge had said that the actual sort of pier, the railings and that, didn't look very nice. So I thought, oh well, I took quite a few, so I'll revisit them and I'll have a look. And I just liked the way that the light had caught this wave, quite dramatic, and that the wave had just sort of moved so I could just get a little bit of the lighthouse as well. So I was quite happy with that one. Next. I was up at Bamburgh again, and I was staying at Bamburgh, and this was Holy Island, and we were walking along the pier there where the fishing boats and things are, and the bottom gull, which is being attacked, had a fish, and the other gull decided that it would really have a go at it, and you can see that it's more or less got the head of this gull. But I'm happy to say that they both survived, and gull on the top at least didn't get the fish. So I was thankful for that. But I thought it was going to peck its eye out. They really, really are vicious animals. And that's what they do when they need, you know, when they have to fight to live and to feed. Next. And this was taken at Thornley Hyde. I had my camera all set up and I thought, oh, we might get a little bit of an action shot here. And they didn't. They sort of were very nice to each other. I think it's quite cute. You don't usually see squirrels doing this, but I suppose there'll be more grey squirrels running around. So I'd rather it was red, but never mind. Moving on, next. And this was up at Holy Island, where the castle is. There's a pond. and I was just walking past it, and somebody ahead had stopped and was looking in the pond. So when we got to the pond, I thought, oh, let's have a look and see what's in. And I think they're frogs, and they were all singing, and as they do. And I thought I'd try and bring the water to make it look more like glass. And I'm quite happy with this one. I think it's quite nice, and the frog looks quite proud. Next. And back to Bamborough. Again, it was early morning. I think I had to be there for about six. I think sunrise might have been about 20 past six at the time. Unfortunately, no clouds or anything in the sky, but there was a couple walking along the beach, and they're in the middle, which added to it. I took quite a few, but there's something about this one that I quite like better than the other ones. But I wasn't the only photographer on the beach. I think if you look to the left or the right, there were other photographers. So I was very limited to where I could stand, because obviously you've got to respect the other people and not getting to view of, you know, their shots and what have you. So I'll keep on trying and keep on revisiting it. Of course, not at the minute, but that was my attempt this year at Bamborough. Next. That's it. Good.
Yes, everybody's unmuted. So, well done.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Excellent, excellent.
Have you tried lightening up Bamborough Castle just to see what it looks like rather than it being more of a silhouette?
I will have, yes. I think with that particular one, I just left it as it was. I just filled around with it a little bit. There are others. I've taken three. I did bracket them. So I have got another one that is lighter. So, yes, I could bring the castle out a little bit more if I wanted to. Yeah.
But you preferred the darker one?
I thought that the light and the people, and I haven't really thought about it, to be honest, but it's a good point.
No,
but
just wondered.
If I could point out something here, especially dawn shots of Bamborough, once the sun comes over the horizon, your exposure goes out the door, because unless you underexpose dramatically, you'll just burn the sky out if you keep detailing the castle.
Mm-hmm.
Really, the rule of thumb, if you can do it, is to get there as we did, before the sun comes up, so you've got the glow, and it does help the exposure that you don't silhouette the castle completely. It's not easy to do, but once the sun's over the horizon, your exposure goes out the door.
I've noticed, yes, yeah.
Hello?
Hello?
You can hear me. Well, I like you. Two pictures, that lone tree, love that. I would put that in the isolation competition.
Well, it was certainly the way I felt that day.
And the other picture, I have a point on. That one with the lighthouse and the wave.
Yeah,
there was a little distraction in the left-hand bottom corner. If you took that out, you've got a great picture.
Yes,
in the left-hand corner.
Mm-hmm. The pier. I did think that, yes.
Take that out. It's beautiful, that.
Thank you.
Lovely, that.
Which lighthouse is that at Amble? Is that the one in Corbett Island, or is it one on the harbour?
No, it's the one on the harbour.
Oh, all right. I've never noticed that one. I've seen the one on the island.
Right. Well, it's where the one, the pier goes out, where the fishing boats and that are all moored, I think.
I like the first one you showed with the sparkling wave behind it. I thought that was really unusual.
Yeah, I know. Yes,
I like that one. I wondered that one.
Yeah.
Was it taken? Yeah. Was that one taken with a mirror lens? Because these seem like little donuts, don't they? That we used to get with the mirror lenses.
That's right. Yes.
Seen for a long time.
It was. It'll be a Sigma. 150 to 600 lens. It's just the way the sun was shining, I think, on it at that particular moment. Because even the birds wet
Could be a ballet dancer. I like its pose.
Were you holding your camera, Kathleen?
Yes, I hold, yes. And it was really blowing a gale as well. Yeah.
Right. On to Peter.
Kathleen, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, it's 2 seconds, Peter. I need to find you in the list. Oh, there you are. Right, Peter, you're on.
Thank you. Just go straight to the first one, please. Can't remember what it is. It's going to be a surprise.
All right. It should be there now.
Yeah, one of my favorite haunts is Holt's Yard in Baker. I visit there from time to time. I've been going there for many, many years. I think the first time I went was definitely last century. And I've kind of produced a little bit of a portfolio. It's a difficult place to photograph. Conditions are going to be good. But this is just this old bench seat that I enjoyed. I don't even know if it's still there. But, so the place changes quite a bit. It's been modernized an awful lot. Like a lot of good businesses there now. And they have the whole concerts there as well. So it's a really, really interesting place. Next, please, Gerben. Oh, this was down at Saltaire. What a trip down there. We went to Salt's Mill. And then when we came out of there, we just had a bit wander around. And the light was absolutely fantastic, and I seen all these bins, and the light was so good on the bins I couldn't resist taking it. And I did enjoy the vanishing point as well. There's nothing at all attractive about bins, but it's the light and the fact that it's in monochrome. I think it makes it a decent shot. Next, please, Gerben. I think this was at Canary Wharf, one of our London trips. And I saw these posters and I thought, I'll hang around a little while. And there's all, when you hang around long enough, there's always something happens. And if the guy on the left came out and was having his cigarette, and he's got exactly the mirror image of the poster. If you look at his arms, it was quite a good looky shot. The poster on the right hand side, I've got somebody there having a fag as well, like, you know, because you've just got this disapproving look from the guy in the poster to this person smoking. I quite enjoyed that one. It was a good place, Canary Wharf. I'd like to go back again. Next, please. One of my favourite shots, all-time favourite shots, is the monument in town of the response statue. And what I liked about this was the kind of the composition. If you take the heads as a triangle, you've got sort of three different age groups. You know, the young drummer boy, and then, you know, the young soldier here, and an older guy here, and of course the church, just slightly muted because of the conditions at the time. It's a difficult statue to photograph because conditions got to be perfect, so you don't get any of these specular highlights on it. Really need incredibly dull days, foggy days, where a bit like this one, to get the best out of it. But an absolutely amazing statue. The detail in it is phenomenal. In every face, it's got so much detail in it, the different expressions, etc. You could go time and time and time again to photograph that. Next, please, Gerben. I'll put this one. I was glad that somebody mentioned colour before, because colour can be a terrible distraction. And I think that's the case in this. If you go straight to the next one, please, Gerben, and you'll see the difference. Where in this one, you're just looking at colour, where here you're looking at this guy's face. And I call this forlorn, because he has this awful sadness about him. You get the impression that he might be a little bit of a down and out but probably not, but the tousled hair and the sadness on his face. And again, a bit of a triangular composition, which I do enjoy. You know, you've got the arms creating this triangle with the face at the apex. Next, please, Gerben. This was taken in the abandoned factory at Morley Tiles. I'd gone there with John, and I found this telephone, which now resides in my garage. And this was in a cupboard. I spotted the peeling paint in the cupboard, put the telephone there, made sure the telephone was off the hook, as it were, and I gave it the answer, give it the title of Shazawazu, she's never answered it. Reference to my wife, she's always on the phone. And I can actually hear her in the background now talking to her mate. Next one, Gerben. Thank you. Beamish Museum. I'd spotted this guy and I decided I'd follow him around and see what happened. And he ended up outside the sweetie shop. He was a coach driver, and he ended up at the sweetie shop with all his kids. And I think the message there is, if you're not careful eating all those sweeties, you're going to end up like me. But what I really liked was his trousers. You couldn't iron those pleats like that. It's just sort of days or weeks or whatever of sitting in a cabin and in a coach. Next, please, Gabe. A night shoot. So a few of us went on a night shoot in town. We'd pre-planned it to a certain extent. We knew where all this graffiti work was because Tracy had told us months and months before. It's not far from the Oxford Galleries. And so we went there, hung around for ages. Nothing was happening. So this is Mick Howe, that used to be a member of Wickham. I got him to walk in. I had another one with Tony Shepherdson, another ex-member, walking the other way. And yeah, it was great. Great night out. Stuck together in a group for safety, because there's always a few idiots knocking around. Next one, please, Gerben. A trip out with John a few years ago. John had spotted this this disused farm down near Northallerton 25, 30 years ago, and never went in it. And one day we decided we'd have a look, and we went in, and it wasn't actually as disused as we thought. There's still people living there. Whether they were actually using this bath or not, I'm not too sure. But that was just the light coming through a hole in the ceiling. So we got a few shots and just left, because I don't think the people that were in the farm were too happy. Next, please, Gerben. Trip to Ireland. I think there was John, Paul, Dave Foley, I think, as well. There might have been others. We've had a few trips to Ireland over the years, and it's absolutely brilliant for abandoned cottages. Cottages over here, they're stripped bare. You rarely ever find anything in them. So any sort of pictures you're going to have to make by arranging stuff, you know, like sort of still life in situ. But this cottage in Ireland, the chair wasn't there. I put the chair there. But the photo of the or painting of the Pope was on the mantelpiece, and I also added the bottle to give that triangular composition. The whole cottage was overgrown with ivy. It was difficult to get in, and when you did get in, it was absolutely pitch black. But if you waited for 5 minutes, your eyes adjusted to what very little light there was. But there always is a little bit of light. And so I called that one the Pope's chair. I'm not sure if that's my last one, Gerben.
It is.
Yep.
Yeah. Yep. Mute you all. Yes, right.
Thank you very much, Peter. Thank you.
Well done.
It's very strange talking to a silent audience.
Yeah. Yeah.
Very strange.
You're kidding yourself, Peter. Everybody's gone out and come back and sat down before you came on again.
Thanks, mate.
Right.
Durbin, that was quite a shoot. That was quite a lag on that one between shots. I don't know why.
Yeah. There was quite a lag. Longer than the other one.
Yeah. I mean, if you can hear my keyboard, I'm pretty much spot on. Like,
yeah.
Happy to get the next image. But yeah, I cannot help that. That must be just the internet.
Yeah. Never mind. It works. We can see them.
Yeah. But you just have to bear with it.
Yeah.
And Peter, I suggest you wash your bath before you go in it tonight.
Oh,
Justus has thought that out.
Do you crop much out of your images, Peter, or do you more or less other as you take them?
More or less as I take them, Kath, apart from obviously converting from colour to mono. But there's very, 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 very minimal work done on the stuff I do.
Mm-hmm. Peter, can I ask you the one where you got the blurred figure in the underpass with the graffiti? What sort of exposure was it? What, shutter speed, particularly? Roughly.
Is it this one?
For the second, Peter. Probably by the second, wasn't it?
That one. It was probably, about the second, maybe second and a half. Okay. I just asked, I've done quite a few. And I kept the shutter speed more or less the same all the time, but I asked Mick and Tony to walk slower or faster till
they
get.
Can you alter the shutter speed then?
Pardon?
Can you not alter the shutter speed and walk the same speed?
Well, you could, but I think it's better to get them to walk faster or slower. It's easier than trying to mess around with shutter speeds.
Dave, the thing about this night stuff is that there's still quite a bit of ambient light, although yes. You think it's dark. Yeah. But the thing is, you've got to be prepared for failures, basically.
Yes.
There's a lot of a lot of colour in here. The wall on the left was all red. It had just been freshly painted, and I always say, like when you're doing mono, think of colour because you can alter the colour channels. You can darken the red or lighten the red and things like that, so you can mess about quite a bit, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But I try to do as very little as possible. Because I think sometimes you can over-process.
You said when you did the Pope's chair one, you added the chair in the bottle.
Yeah.
When you go out to do things like that, do you take stuff with you? I'm not for a minute suggesting you took a chair, but do you take stuff with you?
Yes, definitely, and I do take chairs. John used to have a large van, and we used to carry all our props around with us, from chairs to headboards, you name it. We had it in the back of the van, and old bikes, and we used to just use it as props. We always called it still life in situ, because everything's contrived. We arrange everything to get the composition, etc. Right.
So it's not in situ at all.
Still life not in situ.
Still life not in situ, indeed.
It's in situ at the farmhouse.
Because that's a lovely shot. I think that's fab.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
The light is just, there's probably a hole in the roof or something like that, you know.
Peter, it was a torch. Tell the truth, you took torches.
I wish I had the forethought to do that.
Peter, what was the shutter speed for that one, roughly?
Oh, that would probably be about 5 minutes.
Right.
Yeah, it was so dark. I mean, really, when I say it's pitch black, when you first went in, you could not see a thing. You dare not walk because you didn't know what you were standing on or whether you were going to trip over something. And you had to let your eyes really get adjusted to it, you know. This cottage, we almost missed it. It was so overgrown with ivy It was the shape of the ivy that gave away the fact that it was a cottage underneath. I can't remember if Paul was with us on that one.
I was.
You were?
Yeah.
And it was hard to get into, wasn't it? You know what? Like literally.
Yeah, climb through the window.
Yeah. Those were the days when we could climb through a window. It was great fun, though. Ireland was great fun.
What's going on?
Ed, we don't want to see a groin.
Let's move on to Peter. Thank you very much, Brother Peter.
Yes. All right. Mute everybody. Yeah. Peter Strassheim, 2 seconds. Unmute. Right, Peter, you're on.
Oh, maybe it's good in a way that you can't talk back and say whatever I want. See, total silence.
Yeah.
This is Morecambe, last November. I call this one Bring Me Sunshine for obvious reasons. It's Eric in his hometown of Morecambe. And I've never been there before, but this is looking across Morecambe Bay. So on the other side, you can see the Lake District. I mean, Morecambe Bay itself is awesome, the size of it. I hadn't realised it was quite so big and scenic as well. Morecambe town centre is not really scenic. It's a bit of a dump, but we've got a decent Wetherspoons. And I better not say too much because Tyson Fury lives there. But anyway, that's himself, just like the shine on his statue. Looks quite good. I tried it in colour, but wasn't quite the same. Next one, please. Short wave. Just next door to Morecambe is Heysham, which is a big town. And this is actually Heysham Nuclear Power Station, which is like eyesore, as you can see. That's about as close as we got to it. But we'd actually gone for a visit for Heysham Village, which is an old village, which is a tiny little village next to the coast, only about a half mile or mile from the power station. It's a lovely little village, very quiet. And when we went there in November, it was even quieter. And they have a Viking museum in the town, in the middle of the village, but that was closed because it's out of season. But we saw a signpost saying, viewpoint this way. So I thought, oh, I've done viewpoints before and they're usually up in a big mountain or something. So it was a bit dubious, but anyway, we went, followed the sign, and it ended up, it's only a few hundred yards up a slight slope. And you get with the viewpoint, which is the next one, please. This is on the top of the viewpoint. It's just a smallish hill overlooking. It's at the south end of Morecambe Bay, looking right up Morecambe Bay, and again, the Lake District in the distance. But what's in the foreground is a massive stone, solid stone, with 6 graves carved in it. And I don't know how old these are. I got a book in the local church nearby, but that didn't tell me much about the age either. They're very narrow graves. They used to put bones in, not full bodies. And anyway, quite recently, about 10 years or so ago, some archaeologists did a dig near next to them, and they dug up about 1,200 artifacts, which the carbon dated to about 12,000 years ago from some passing nomad band or something who had camped there. But the view is absolutely gorgeous from where it is. You can see what the attraction is. Next one. Yeah, just nearby, just a few yards away, this is what's all that's left of St. Patrick's Church. And allegedly St. Patrick actually landed at the beach just down behind there. And they named this church after him. Obviously not much left of him. It was only tiny at the best of times. But that was, I think it was built about 900 or 1000 AD. And if you look at the archway in the middle, It's actually carved out of one piece of stone. I've never seen that before. It's not set in pieces or bricks. It's just one carved lump of stone to make a curve. Next one, please. Yeah, this is supposedly what it used to look like when it was in one piece. Very tiny, in a tiny graveyard. And the graves over to the left with crosses supposedly standing in the little holes that were at the back of the graves. So, right, next one, please. Yeah, just going downhill in a matter of yards almost through the trees is this lovely little church, which is St. Peter's Church. I was quite pleased to see that they named the church after me. And this has been nearly as long as St. Patrick's Church, or parts of it. But it's a beautiful little place among the trees. And if on the left side, if you walk down there, the graveyard goes right down to the beach. Beautiful little graveyard. I didn't say that about graveyards. But that little beach is where allegedly St. Patrick came ashore. And also the Vikings used to come ashore. Not at the same time, I imagine. And but anyway, lovely little spot in the cove. It's a very sheltered cove with the viewpoint up to the left and the expanse of the beach to the right. So you can see why they landed there. Next one, please. Come on, Kirvin.
It's up there.
What? Right. This is a hog's back stone. This is inside that little there in St. Peter's Church. I'm not sure what it's for or how old exactly, but seemingly there's a few of these around the country, not many. And this is allegedly the one that's in the best condition and least worn. And this side we're looking at is actually a mixture of Christian and Norse symbols. So they think it's from about the time that the Vikings were changing from pagan to Christianity. So it's a mixture of the two. So that would probably date it about 900 AD, I would guess. Okay, next. Hang on. This is a question. Kathy, you can see why I don't do nature shots. This is a terrible shot of a bird, but I call this the mad bird because for weeks now it's been coming into the back garden and trying to eat the glass in the window of my shed. And it climbs up and down the sides, the top, the bottom, and pecks away at the glass. I don't know why it does it, but it's been doing it on and off for weeks. If anybody knows what type of bird it is, and also why it does this, I'd be interested to know.
It's a long-tailed tit.
What? Long-tailed
tit.
Is it?
Oh. It's after the putty, Peter, at least the putty.
No, there's no putty in the window. That's what I thought at first.
Oh, could be the flies and things.
I'm going to say
I wonder if it's attacking its reflection, thinks it's another bird.
Wait a minute. I've got to shoot off. I'm going to help my wife out of the bath because she's got a dodgy leg in a minute. go to the next one. Next one's for discussion among us.
Thank you very much, Peter.
All right. It's a good shout.
Very fast.
Yeah.
What's a hog back stone?
It's a stone that's got a humpy back.
What did they use it for? Anything or
don't know. Decoration? You know, those stone cut graves were on the an album cover by Black Sabbath. Just a bit of useful information for you if you're in a quiz.
Church one where it showed the arch carved out of
stone,
one piece of stone.
What?
That didn't look as though it fitted. The church, Peter, that had the top of the doorway.
Yeah.
That stone didn't look as though it was originally from there.
Oh, it was. They've got some older pictures of it as well. It seemed to be similar. I've got a few curved stones like that built into the church.
They're definitely in the church. They haven't been old ones they've added to it.
No. Well, they've used them in the modern church in St. Peter's as well.
All right.
A part of it.
Could the bird have been a wagtail?
Sorry?
No.
Could the bird have been a wagtail?
No.
That's right.
Right.
Sometimes referred to as a lollipop bird because you could grab its tail and it's got a little piece of a tiny little body.
Yeah, all right. Well, it's been coming for about a month or two now, every day or the other day. Don't know why. It's
in small flocks.
It's what? Been there for months. You should have got a better photograph.
Agree, totally. Leave that to Kath.
Thank you.
Yeah, as regards, just a cause of a discussion and just giving my opinion. SLRs are not very good, but they're good, a bit of a pain in some ways. So I think they're going to die. But no doubt all SLRs have got to last a long time. So hang on to it if you like it. But I find mirrorless are better. Okay, that's me.
Listen, it's not the
comment. I've got my wife out of the bath as well now.
Right.
What were you saying, Ed? It's not the camera.
It's a person using it that counts.
Exactly. It's a nut behind the wheel.
Yeah.
That's shut that one up, hasn't it?
It
kind of completely dead.
Exactly. Come on, Gerben.
I'm working at it. Hang on. Oh.
Don't give Gerben a hard time. He's done a grand job.
Yes, he has.
I think this, good night. This is the absolute last image that we have tonight.
That one?
Yes.
Can we not have a decent one to finish with?
Right.
Well, can I just thank all of you for presenting? That was the first time we've tried this sort of thing, and I thought it worked very well, from my point of view anyway.
Yeah.
And thank you very much, Gerben, for organising it. It takes, getting the technology to work and accepting the pictures and sorting them out. So thank you very much, Gerben, indeed.
Yeah,
well, Gerben.
No problem.
Gerben, well done. We hear so much about projected images and the quality of the projection. I don't know what everybody else is like, but I'm looking on the iPad, and as far as I'm concerned, the projection was absolutely superb.
All right. Yeah. It's a Philips monitor. That's all I can say.
It's Jenny and I's golden wedding this year, and I gave her a dart and a map. I says, throw the dart on the map, and wherever it lands, we'll go there for our golden wedding. And it hit the skirting board. Well done, Gerben.
Yeah, thank you.
Well done, Gerben.
Yes, thank you.
Great.
Cheers. Very good.
Come up with something for next week, then.
Yeah.
Okay.
So for next week, we'd like other people to do similar sort of things. I think that'll be the right thing to do.
Good Friday next week. Oh yes,
Good Friday.
Not going anywhere.
So, are we going to do it on Friday, or are we going to bring it forward to Thursday?
Well, to be honest, I think every day is the same, isn't it?
Yeah, it is.
It's a minute.
Yeah, just about.
So it's Good Friday. So what?
Yeah, I'll not be going anywhere.
Okay, chaps. So, should we have a meeting next Friday?
Friday.
8 o'clock. Thank you very much. And can we ask? And can we ask members to send in forums?
Got a bit of an echo going on at the moment.
Yes, I wanted to ask how many photographs for the isolation? I've just sent one in, but I wasn't sure how many.
Can you not read?
What did it say?
On the instructions, on the email, you're allowed two photographs. We might change it in time to come, but this time, two photographs per member. And I noticed somebody was saying earlier on you should include that in the isolation photograph. I'm sorry, Kathy, can't, because the camera should be in your place of isolation, I have said. In other words, your house or your garden. So Wickham Park does not count. So anyway, so basically two photographs. I have received some already, and I have said the idea is to have a bit of fun, and the photographs I have received so far certainly go along with having a bit of fun. So, but I have, the other thing on that is I have organised a judge, an independent judge, who's an old friend of mine who's an LRPC from South Wales.
As independent as that, Dave, is he?
Pardon?
He's as independent as that, is he?
He's not going to get a penny. He's going to do it because he loves me. And
we'll have to pay travelling expenses.
There's no. That's the beauty of JPEGs via the internet. There's no travelling expenses. So he's going to do this for nothing, and he knows what it's all about. In other words, it's a competition in isolation, just to keep us amused and all the rest of it. So he's happy to judge that. So it will be done independently, and I will send them to him with all your Wickham member numbers or no names. Not that he only knows my name, so he doesn't know any of yours. So I hope that's all right. If not, tough, because that's what's happening. This is what's going.
I wasn't sure what the et cetera meant, so I put a name on the end because you said et cetera.
That's all so right.
Does that mean the name or not? But you'll have to wipe it off.
We would like them in the format of any photographic competition that Wickham Photographic Club runs, as Alan has put in his bits and pieces. So if you could do it the same way, that would be helpful. But it doesn't really matter. I'll take all the names off and send them with membership numbers on when I send them to him at the on the 12th of November, 12th of April.
12th of November.
God, I mean, as you said, one day is the same as another at the moment.
Yeah, 1 month as well.
Is everybody happy with that?
Yeah.
Les, would you like to say anything about the competition? You've sent around an email recently about changing the rules a little bit. Would you like to expand on it or not?
Well, it's just to try and make it, as nobody's getting out taking photographs at the minute, was an opportunity that we could possibly slacken the rules off for the portfolio a little bit, and that you could use photographs which had previously not had first, second or third. Yeah. If we have a committee meeting in this format, maybe it's something we can discuss, and we don't know how long this is going to go on, but I suspect that it'll go on till at least September, and I don't think many people are going to be out taking photographs. So well, it's just a way of increasing entry.
The emails we received so far are all happy with that. And I was going to come on to organising a committee meeting at some point in the future, but I'll come back to that. Thank you, Les. Alan, have you got anything to say about notices or anything?
Again, well done to Devon for running this. What I would request is, again, for the bits and pieces, initially up from the five speakers, if you can please send me your favourite image out of the ones you've shown, and I'll do a little write-up for the Bits and Pieces magazine.
That'd be excellent.
But also, I'm looking for anything. For the bits and pieces, I will be putting out weekly till further notice if I get sufficient stuff in to put in it.
Thank you very much, Alan.
I'll give you something for bits and pieces because I'll give you all of the suggestions I've had for the set subject so far. But we're still looking for contributions, really.
Alan, could you remind everybody to send?
Yeah.
To Les, isn't it, for the set subject?
I'll let you know what I've got so far.
And yep. Those of you who are on the committee who are here, do you think we should have a meeting like this, a Zoom yep. meeting via the internet? When? End of April? Beginning of April?
Yeah.
Yep. Not going anywhere.
Yeah, we're going anywhere, so.
Yes, anytime. No problem.
Even earlier.
Okay.
Just to get a feeling of what we want to talk about, you know.
Yeah, yeah. Because there's a few things we need sorted out, like sort out Les's competition and, you know, these things. And think about, I might have to have some contingency plans for next season if things change or don't change or whatever it is.
I did want to mention that Steve actually has prepared some accounts. He has looked at them because Norma gave him them at the last meeting, Friday the 13th, I think it was. Okay. So he has the accounts and he has done something with them. So I don't know if anybody wants to see them or...
Yes, I mean, basically, thanks, Kath. Thank you, Steve. Could he be at the next committee meeting and we'll add them
I
on?
I think we can arrange that, yes. I'll let him come in the room.
Thank you. Anything else anybody wants to say?
Yes, just keep safe. Keep safe, everyone.
Alan.
Yeah.
I've got a question to Alan. Alan, I sent you something already for the bits and pieces. Did you get it?
Depends. What is it? Your previous holiday? Yes, holiday snaps.
I beg your pardon.
holiday snaps.
Well, it was Bambra.
Yeah, got it.
Okay. So you got them.
Yes, thank you.
Well, thank you very much. It's been a really good meeting. Thank you very much. That was really good. And hope you all keep safe, because I can tell you I have got a daughter who has got the virus in Sheffield and she's as sick as a chip, on the verge of going into hospital.
Oh, dear.
So I would not wish it upon anybody. And we are stuck here in Wickham and can't go and do anything for her. So it's very difficult. So all of you keep safe, and we will see you next week, next Friday, 8 o'clock, Good Friday or not.
Same place.
And please send some photographs to Gerben for next week.
Okay.
All right.
Okay. Thanks.
Okay.
Good night.
Cheers.
Bye. Thanks, everybody.
Bye. Bye-bye.
Thanks, Gerben.
Thank you very much.
Thanks, Gerben.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye-bye. Let's see who's still here.
I'm still here. I can't get it off. Oh, yeah.
That's all right.
Bye.
I was just curious. Cheers. Bye.
Bye.